Hello once again, and welcome back to Cherish Ephesians 6:4. This week's article is titled, Training Your Child by Sharing Your Trials. I have a suggestion for you that I think is critical to your family's walk with the Lord. But before we get to that, we have to make sure that we are thinking about trials or discipline or training the right way, that is, the biblical way. And God, through His Word, makes it plain for us to understand. Listen carefully to Hebrews 12, 7 through 11, and 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7, where we get a great deal of perspective about God disciplining or training us. He writes in Hebrews, "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And in 1 Peter, Peter writes, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." As we can see, God gives us trials or disciplines us out of his unfathomable love for us so that we may grow in holiness and become more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:29. More specifically, the Father will sovereignly bring these experiences into our lives and in concert with the Holy Spirit, convict us of sin and give us the power to repent. Some of our sins are ones to which we would readily admit are just an open refusal to obey his commandments, such as stealing or adultery in the heart or murderous anger. Others may seem to be more subtle, like loving the things of this world, and because of that, not giving your whole heart to the duties of the Christian life. In my own pursuit of a closer walk with God, I sometimes wish that he would send me a weekly report on which sins I am getting disciplined for, and what is the specific discipline that he is applying. Email or text would be fine. In theory, I would then concentrate on killing those sins, the Bible calls that mortification, and live a happier and holier life. However, the truth of the matter is that even when I do know that I am sinning against God, often I drag my feet and believe that it is better to enjoy that sin a little bit longer. Oh, and that report? Yes, the actual report of all the times that I have sinned in thought and deed for the week would be too long to read through before the next week's report would arrive. And this is not how God wants us to deal with our sins. God's way is not a mechanical weekly accounting that can be done by a report from heaven. Rather, it is a process of a father bringing his child a loving, precise chastisement that causes the child to search his own heart for evil thoughts and ways, and reminds the child of the Father's willingness to send his precious Son to die on my behalf. Dealing with my sin issues is not an occupation that I have. It is a lifestyle rooted in a love for the one who died for me on a cross so many years ago. We would all like to know more about what God is doing through a trial. Job did, and when we read the story, we learn so much about the greatest tragedy, God's sovereignty, and how good can come out of the most painful experiences. And those people in John 9:1 through 3 wanted to know too. And it says, "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" But at the end of the day, We typically don't see the good during the trial. Sometimes we see it years later, and sometimes never see it until we see the Lord face to face. As Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." With this very brief look at what the Bible tells us about discipline or trials, I want to suggest something to you that I believe is a game changer as you seek to obey the command to raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I'm suggesting that you are deliberate in sharing your trials with your children as you go through them. Think about it. Don't you wish your child could have walked with you through all of your past trials so he could learn and apply those lessons to his own life? Think about the wisdom he could have gained from you sharing that experience with him in the moment. But now, you're waiting for him to go through his own trials so you can give him biblical wisdom that he can apply to his trials. I don't think that is all that God intends for parents to do. If we go back to Deuteronomy and examine God's instructions for parents, they were to talk about the Lord throughout the day. In doing so, it would have been natural for them to discuss whatever trial they were going through as a family or individually within the context of God's laws and what God had done in the past, particularly his faithfulness. I believe it is fair to say that most modern-day Christians are not teaching and talking a whole lot about God in the course of their daily life at home. At best, the kids are required to read a devotional booklet for a few minutes, or read their Bibles for a very short period of time. Then, when quote-unquote bad things happen in the life of a child or parent, we may even refer to it as bad luck, or Murphy's Law, or simply say, that's life for you. And when we experience those tough times, we may try to reassure the kids with the infamous, it will all work out, or everything happens for a reason. You must realize that instead of talking about how God works, you are leaving God out completely and training your children to do the same. These are tailor-made moments to talk about God, and if you don't do it, it may be because you think it would sound forced, but it isn't. These are moments that God drops right into our laps to teach and talk about him with our kids. Sure, if you haven't been doing this, don't be surprised if your child looks at you like that puppy that hears a strange noise. You know, the one where they tilt their head to the right or to the left and stick their ears straight up. They'll get used to it. So here are some bullet points on what a progression of sharing might look like. First, share your trials with the kids when age appropriate. You can do this in simple terms with most 5-year-old children and older. Then confess your sinful anxiety, how hard it is to see the good in a trial, how hard it is to wait, to trust the Lord. And then share the promises of God and the attributes of God. Share the stories of how God has been faithful in past trials. And then finally, share the joy of the outcome of that trial. Here are some real-life examples and teaching moments. There's the death in the family. The truth, life is a gift from God, but comes to an end because of the sin of Adam and Eve. This will plant seeds in their minds about their own mortality. Then there are the difficult illnesses. The truth that can be applied. Illnesses are also part of a sin-cursed world. The Lord teaches us humility and patience through the ordeal. What about when a parent loses his job? The truth, an opportunity to talk about God's promises to provide. How about when a parent is slandered by others? The truth that can be applied, the parent's biblical response, turning the other cheek, biblical confrontation, praying for those who attack you. That response will inform the child how to think about that day when he is slandered or bullied by other children. How about the hurt from the loss of a friend? Truth, the friend we will never lose is Jesus. This world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And then the situation where the parent has a wicked boss that is making your life miserable. the truth. We don't work for men, but we work for Christ. Understanding God's providence and how He intends to make us more like Christ in this situation is important to share with your child. If parents will invite their children to walk with them through their trials and times of God's discipline, I believe they will be better prepared to walk through their own trials with a biblical understanding of what is true and a response that honors God by trusting and obeying Him with a humble heart. And as an added blessing, you will be training them to lead the next generation the same way. By the way, I am really excited about the Cherish Ephesians 6:4 podcast channel. A channel is a group of podcast shows that are essentially audiobooks that I have recorded, so Christians can listen to excellent Christian books and booklets on their phone or in their car or anywhere. This week, I'm thrilled to announce that Evangelical Press gave me permission to record two of the famous John Blanchard booklets about Christ, booklets that people have shared with non-believers for decades. There is a reason why more than 18 million copies have been printed worldwide. Blanchard's explanation of the gospel in the booklet, Ultimate Questions, and his answer to the question, Why the Cross, are clear and true to the Bible. I am privileged to record both of these booklets on the podcast called Why Should I Believe Anything About Jesus Christ? Please check them out and share them with someone who does not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or listen to them yourself to be greatly encouraged. You can click here to go directly to the show called Why Should I Believe Anything About Jesus Christ? Or you can click here to go to the channel of all of the recordings and then choose the show called Why Should I Believe Anything About Jesus Christ? Both of these links are in this week's email. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.